Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed a bunch of big pharma for me to use to help with my blood pressure and diabetes, and those things did absolutely nothing for me. My blood pressure was out of control, my diabetes was out of control. Well, I had to go an alternative route. So I have tried and have been using the Youngevity products advertised on DIY Health here at EFR. And the results have been very pleasing to me. My blood pressure is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight is down. All in all, I feel really good. Now, this is due to diet and exercise and the use of these products to give my body the nutrients it needs to basically heal itself. I recommend them. If you would like to try these products, please contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's 901-553-6900. Tell him what's going on and he can help you out. Now, this program has to be accompanied by self-control. You can't just pig out all the time. You have to control your diet and get some exercise, which I have done. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is number 449. We're in the book of Romans. We will be beginning in chapter 8 today. I'm going to try to get 8, 9, and 10 in. We'll see what we can do. This is some exciting stuff. The story of Paul speaking to the Romans. It's a rock'em sock'em read here. Lots of notes. If you want to write these things down, it might be well to have some writing materials handy, because I'm going to be giving notes for reference. In case anybody has missed any of my shows, they're all on my website, www.pastor-steve.com, and you can find me there, and they're all available for download or listening any way you want to do it. Let's get started in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, verse 1. There is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2. For the Torah of the Spirit of the life in Messiah Yeshua has set me free from the Torah of sin and of death. Verse 3. For the Torah, being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim, having sent his own Son in the likeness of flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, so that the righteousness of the Torah should be completed in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, that implies self-discipline and obedience to the commands given by Yeshua. And you just can't run around in the world doing whatever the world wants, because the world will drag you down. The world is a world of sin. It's the devil's order of arrangement right now. It is not a godly world at this point. You can see that every day by what's going on out there in that world. Okay, you have to separate yourself from the desires of the flesh. Okay, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the matters of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the matters of the Spirit. Verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. If you're living according to this world and this order of arrangement, which is satanic, you're not going to make it into the kingdom. You will die the second death. You will not be given eternal life. You have to set yourself apart from the things of the flesh. Okay, verse 7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Elohim, for it does not subject itself to the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able, verse 8, and those who are in the flesh are unable to please Elohim. Stands to reason. I mean, if you're living according to the satanic world order, you're not going to please Yahweh, are you? Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Messiah, this one is not his. So those who deny Yeshua as Messiah, basically, they're doomed. Verse 10. And if Messiah is in you, the body is truly dead on account of sin, but the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. In other words, the body leads you toward sin because of fleshly desires, but if you control the body through the Spirit, you're going to go toward the kingdom, okay? Verse 11 of chapter 8, reference 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3, 16. And if the Spirit of him who raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, that would be the Spirit of Yahweh, his set-apart Spirit, he who raised Messiah from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit dwelling in you. In other words, you won't be subjected to the second death. Verse 12. So then, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You will get that second temple to live in and have eternal life. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, these are sons of Elohim. In other words, you're going to be Yahweh's children if you follow the teachings and commandments of Yahweh. Stands to reason, doesn't it? Verse 15, you can reference Mark chapter 14, verse 36, and Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 for verse 15. And for verses 15 through 17, you can reference Galatians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. That's Galatians 4, 5 through 7. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's what Abba means. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of Elohim. Verse 17, and if children, also heirs, truly heirs of Elohim and co-heirs with Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him in order that we also be exalted together. Verse 18, you can reference the wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. That's wisdom 3, 5 and 6. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the esteem that is to be revealed in us. So, in other words, if we suffer a bit here, the glory of eternal life in the new body that we will get later overshadows all of that. It's worth it, in other words. Verse 19. For the intense longing, okay, and that intense longing in the Hebrew is literally anxiously looking with an outstretched hand. For the intense longing of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of Elohim. Verse 20. And you can reference Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 for verse 20 of chapter 8. For the creation was subjected to futility, not from choice, but because of him who subjected it in anticipation, verse 21, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage to corruption into the esteemed freedom of the children of Elohim. In other words, this evilness that has infected the world today is going to be destroyed, and the children of Elohim are going to rule underneath the King, Yeshua Messiah. That's what this is talking about. Verse 22. For we know that all the creation groans together and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. Verse 23 of chapter 8, reference 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 through 4 for verse 23. And not only so, but even we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. In other words, we're going to get new bodies instead of these old, beat up, worn out bodies that are subjected to time. Everything is going to be renewed, including us. And that's coming when the Messiah returns. Or if those have passed on when he returns, they will be raised into their new bodies. Okay? We're not going to be subjected to disease and age and all of that. Verse 24 of chapter 8. For in this expectation we were saved. But expectation that is seen is not expectation. For when anyone sees, does he expect it? In other words, this is a promise to come. You're not seeing it right now, but it's coming. Verse 25. And if we expect what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. In other words, keep on keeping on in the word of Yahweh. That's what he's saying. You have to endure what we're going through here and keep on being faithful. Verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit does help in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case for us with groanings unutterable. There are things that you just can't voice, but Yahweh's hearing you because your Spirit is speaking through his Spirit. And he hears, he understands what's going on. Verse 27, and he who searches the hearts, that's Yahweh, knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the set apart ones according to Elohim. Verse 28, and we know that all matters work together for good to those who love Elohim, to those who are called, those who are called, okay, not just everybody, those who are called according to his purpose. Because he isn't calling everybody. There's a lot of people out there that are not going to make it. They've hardened their hearts. Even if they're Israelites, they're not going to make it because they refuse to repent. Hey, you know, he's got a set of rules. Verse 29, because those whom he knew beforehand, he also ordained beforehand to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. In other words, he knew us before the foundation of the world because we've got Spirit in us. We're formerly divine beings. And we fell. For him to be the firstborn among many brothers. In other words, Yahshua was the first fruits of the resurrection. Okay? We come later. Verse 30. And whom he ordained beforehand, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also declared right. And whom he declared right, these he also esteemed. This is a very important verse coming up, verse 31. What then shall we say to this? If Elohim is for us, who is against us? Even though these evil ones persecute us in this world, if Yahweh is on our side and he is with us, we're going to see resurrection. They will be burned up as the tares. So we have to occupy until Yahshua returns. And be faithful. That's the whole thing. You have to trust. Verse 32. Truly, He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on behalf of us all, on behalf of us all. That's all. That's Israel. Okay. He was the sacrifice for Israel. We just have to accept that covenant and go by the rules. How shall he not, along with him, freely give us all else? We're sons and daughters of Yahweh. Okay. Verse 33, listen to this. Who shall bring any charge against Elohim's chosen ones? Who are the chosen ones? Not the Talmudists. They don't do what Yahweh wants. They don't worship Yahweh. It is Elohim who is declaring right. That's Israel and Israel alone. Okay. Verse 34. Who is he who is condemning? It is Messiah who died and furthermore is also raised up. Also raised up. Okay. The first fruits of the resurrection to come for those chosen ones. That's us. Who is also at the right hand of Elohim, who also makes intercession for us. Okay, he is our righteousness, because we can't make it, we're not perfect. But he is, and he will plead for us. Let me get a little drink of coffee here. Oh, I'm loving this. This is wonderful. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall pressure or distress or persecution or scarcity of food or nakedness or danger or sword? In other words, who's going to be powerful enough or what's going to be powerful enough to make Yeshua stop loving us? Nothing. If we are his and obedient to him, doesn't matter what they do. Verse 36, and this is referenced Psalm 44, verse 22. Psalm 44, verse 22. As it has been written, and this applies for today, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are reckoned as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, they're persecuting and killing real Christians today. It's not make-believe, it's going on. Okay? Verse 37 of chapter 8. But in all this, we are more than overcomers through him who loved us. Overcomers. Israel. You will overcome with El. Okay? As El. You will be, we will become divine being once again. We're going to regain that status that we lost. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor messengers, nor principalities, nor powers, neither the present nor the future, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Elohim, which is in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. In other words, whatever the world throws at us, even if we lose our earthly life here, and everybody does eventually, okay, look at the pattern. You know anybody that's immoral? No, I don't. Now, I've been around quite a while. I've never seen anybody beat death. We are in Yeshua Messiah if we are believers and followers, not just believers. Got to do what he says. Because he said to us, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" You have to be a doer of the word. You have to set apart yourself from the world and enter the world that Elohim designed and follow the commandments and live in a righteous manner through the teachings of Yeshua Messiah. He made things very clear. And yeah, it's going to bring you trouble. Sure is. But so what? You got to endure, occupy until I return, even unto death. Now we begin chapter 9 of the book of Romans, verse 1. I speak the truth of Messiah. I do not lie. My conscience also bearing me witness in the set apart spirit. Verse 2, that I have great sadness and continual grief in my heart. Verse 3, for I myself could have wished to be banished from Messiah for the sake of my brothers, my relatives according to the flesh. Verse 4, reference Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Exodus 4:22. Who are the children of Israel, to whom is the adoption and the esteem and the covenants and the giving of the Torah and the worship and the promises? Verse 5, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Messiah according to the flesh? He was in an Israelite body, in other words. Who is over all? Elohim blessed forever. Amen. Means so be it. Verse 6. However, it is not as though the word of Elohim has failed, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. There's pretenders masquerading as Israelites. It's a play on words here. Verse 7. Reference Genesis 21:12. Genesis 21:12, verse 7. Neither are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Yitzchak your seed shall be called. In other words, way back when, the Edomites came from Abraham at one time. But because Esau married the Hittite women and was a terrible sinner and blasphemer, his seed line mixed with the seed line of Cain, which is satanic seed line, and way back in the distant past, some of them had the seed of Abraham. But they are no longer the seed of Abraham because they are disqualified because of Esau and Cain. Okay, verse 8. That is, those who are children of the flesh, these are not the children of Elohim, but the children of the promise are reckoned as the seed. In other words, if you're and if you categorize yourself by your actions here, if you live for the flesh, and you follow the dictates of the Talmudists, you're not children of Elohim. Verse 9, and you can reference Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. Genesis 18, 10. For this is the word of promise. At this time I shall come, and Sarah shall have a son. verse 10. And not only so, but Rebekah having conceived by one, our father Isaac. That's Isaac, okay? Verse 11, yet before they were born, Hor had done any good or evil in order that the purpose of Elohim, according to choice, might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Verse 12. You can reference Genesis 25, verse 23. Genesis 25, 33. It was said to her, the greater shall serve the lesser. And verse 13 backs this up. Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Malachi 1, 2, and 3. As it has been written, Jacob, that's Jacob, Israel, I have loved, but Esau I have hated. I've hated because he was a race mixer. He mixed with the Hittites and the pagans and was a blasphemer and just terrible. And the seed of Esau is Edom. And Edom is modern-day Jewry. They claim that. Okay. You're of Edom. Okay, we know who you are and what you are. Edom was mixed with the seed of Cain, satanic seed line, and they are, as in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you do. Very plain, very simple, easily understood. But you're not going to get the Judeo-Christian churches to teach that. Verse 14, they studiously ignore a lot of the scripture. Verse 14, what then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Let it not be. Verse 15, reference Exodus chapter 33, verse 19. Exodus 33, 19. For he says to Moshe, I shall favor whomever I favor, and I shall have compassion on whomever I have compassion. That's his right. He's the divine creator. So don't try to limit Yahweh's authority because you don't like the results. I mean, come on. Who are we? We're disobedient children. Struggling for redemption through Yeshua. Verse 16. So then, it is not of him who is wishing, nor of him who is running, but of Elohim who shows favor. Yahweh shows the favor. You can't earn it. He gives it. Verse 17. And for verse 17, you can reference Exodus chapter 9, verse 16. That's Exodus 9, 16. And 3 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 6. 3 Maccabees 2, 6. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this same purpose I have raised you up to show my power in you and that my name be declared in all the earth. In other words, he raised up Pharaoh to make him powerful and well known in order to slap him down. That was the reason for him being raised up. Verse 18. So then, he favors whom he wishes, and he hardens whom he wishes. Okay? In other words, he can harden the heart of an evil man and then destroy him. Verse 19, then you shall say to me, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his counsel? Verse 20 of chapter 9, reference Isaiah 29, verse 16, and Isaiah 45, verse 9, and the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, verse 12. That's Isaiah 29, 16, 45, 9, and the wisdom of Solomon, 12, 12. Verse 20, but who are you, O man, to talk back to Elohim? Shall that which is formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Verse 21 of chapter 9, reference the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 15, verse 7. Wisdom of Solomon 15:7 and Sirach 33, verse 13. Sirach 33, 13, verse 21. Does not the potter have authority over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for value and another not for value? Verse 22. Reference the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. That's wisdom 12, 20 and 21. Verse 22, and if Elohim, desiring to show wrath and to make his power known with much patience, tolerated the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his esteem on vessels of compassion, which he had prepared beforehand for esteem. Verse 24, even whom he called, who he has to call them, not only us of the Yehudim, but also of the nations. That's the nations in dispersion of Israel. That's not all the nations of non-Israelites. That's only Israel. He's only speaking to Israel here, regardless of what the Judeos try to say. Verse 25 of chapter 9, reference Hosea, chapter 2, verse 23. That's Hosea 2, 23. Verse 25, as he says in Hosea 2, I shall call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. In other words, people that had strayed and then had come back. That's the whole deal. You have to return and you have to repent. You can't just keep on keeping on in your sins. Verse 26, and you can reference Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Hosea 1:10. And it shall be in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living Elohim. All right. Verse 27, reference Isaiah chapter 10, verse 22. Isaiah 10, 22. Genesis 22, verse 17. Genesis 22, 17. And Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. And Yeshayahu cries out on behalf of Israel through the number of the children of Israel, or though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant shall be saved. He's not going to save all of Israel because they're not all repentant and they're not worshiping properly. Only the remnant is going to be saved. Verse 28, reference Isaiah chapter 10, verse 23, Isaiah 10, 23, verse 28, for he is bringing a matter to an end and is cutting it short in righteousness, because Yahweh shall cut short a matter on the earth. verse 29. Verse 29, reference Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9, Isaiah 1, 9, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 23, Deuteronomy 29, 23, Jeremiah 49, 18, and Jeremiah 50, verse 40. That's 49:18 and 50:40, and Amos chapter 4, verse 11. Amos 4:11. And as Yeshayahu said before, if Yahweh of hosts had not left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, that's Sodom, and we have been made like Amorah. That's Gomorrah, okay? It would be destroyed. Verse 30, what shall we say then, that nations not following after righteousness have obtained righteousness, even the righteousness of belief? That's nations of dispersion of Israel. Okay, verse 31, but Israel following after the Torah of righteousness has not arrived at the Torah of righteousness. They were just trying to do the Torah, and they couldn't make it. They had to have Yeshua. Verse 32, reference Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. Isaiah 8, 14. Why? Because it was not of belief, but as by works of Torah. For they stumbled at the stone of stumbling. They couldn't keep the whole Torah. They were not perfect, not one. Only Yeshua was perfect. Verse 33, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. That's 8:14 and 28:16. As it has been written, see, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock that makes for falling, and everyone who is believing on him shall not be put to shame. In other words, sinners are going to stumble over the words of Yeshua. They're not going to make it. And a rock will fall on them and crush them. That's a rock of righteousness and truth. And he's speaking of Yeshua as the stone of stumbling to those who are not of Israel and unbelievers. And the rock of faith that will fall on them. That's what he's talking about right there. That ends chapter 9. Get a little drink here. Now let's go into chapter 10. Chapter 10 is not all that long. Verse 1. Truly, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to Elohim for Israel is for deliverance. Verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have an ardor for Elohim, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for not knowing the righteousness of Elohim and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Elohim. They're not righteous in themselves. Verse 4, for Messiah is the goal of the Torah unto righteousnesses to everyone who believes. Okay, and you can reference Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 18, and Jeremiah 50, verse 40, and Amos 4:11. Okay. Jeremiah 49:18 and 50:40 and Amos 4:11 for that verse. Verse 5. For Moshe writes about the righteousness which is of the Torah. The man who does these shall live by them. Okay. That's Leviticus 18, verse 5. Verse 6. But the righteousness of belief speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into the heavens? That is, to bring Messiah down. And verse 6, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. And verses 6 through 8 reference Deuteronomy 30, verses 12 through 14. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Messiah up from the dead. Verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And yet you can reference Deuteronomy 30, chapter 14 on that. Deuteronomy 30, verse 14, pardon me. That is the word of belief which we are proclaiming. That's the word that's in the mouth. You're teaching and preaching the word. Verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Master Yeshua and believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Okay. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. You can't just believe. You're going to have to speak of him. Okay? You can't just be silent about it. Verse 11, and you can reference Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Isaiah 28, 16, verse 11. Because the scripture says, whoever puts his trust in him shall not be put to shame. Verse 12, and here he goes again. Because there is no distinction between Yahudi and Greek, that's Hellen, for the same master of all is rich to all those calling upon him. Because the Yahudim, the people of the land of Judah, and the tribe of Judah, and the Hellenes, who were Israelites in dispersion in Greece, they were all Israelites. There's no difference. An Israelite is an Israelite, and Yeshua came for Israel, all of Israel. Verse 13, and the Judeans twist this. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. And you can reference Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel 2, 32. And Acts 2, 21. Acts 2, 21. Everyone, who's he talking to? This is the book to the Romans, the Zerah tribe of Judah. Okay? He is talking to Israel only. He is not talking to non-Israelites, regardless of what they try to say. They try to translate everyone as all people. Not so. Just Israel. Yeshua said himself, I come not except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It doesn't come for anybody else but Israel. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without one proclaiming? That's why we teach these scriptures. Verse 15. And how shall they proclaim if they are not sent? As it has been written, how pleasant are the feet of those who bring the good news of peace, who bring the good news of the good. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Isaiah 52, 7. Verse 16. However, not all obeyed the good news, for Yeshayahu says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Isaiah 53, verse 3. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Verse 17. So then belief comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. Verse 18. But I ask, did they not hear? Yes, indeed. Their voice went out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's all the land, and their words to the end of the land. Okay. That's Psalm 19, verse 4. Psalm 19, verse 4. Verse 19. But I ask, did Israel not know? First, Moshe says, I shall provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I shall enrage you by an unwise nation. That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Verse 20. And Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, boldly says, I was found by those not seeking me. I was made manifest to those not asking for me. That's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. Isaiah 65, verse 1. Verse 21. And to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and back-talking people. That's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. And that ends chapter 10 of the book of Romans. We will pick up with chapter 11 on the next show. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you enjoy these readings and the explanations that I do here in the New Covenant. They come from years of experience and study, and I have a lot of notes that I have taken and written them in here, plus the notes that's in the scriptures. I have transferred notes from a lot of other scriptures, and a pretty comprehensive list. So I hope you enjoy these readings as much as I do. I really love the scriptures. Well, I got a couple minutes left. I might play a little music, and then we'll get out of here. Do the bumper music, and then play a song or so. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
What a shame, oh what a shame. someone's always quarreling, then marriage don't remain. Divorces by the thousands, is this human race insane? I always thought that marriage should be a sacred thing. Married by the Bible, divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible, no divorces by the law. Steps are often taken without thinking twice, and oft times there's a child or two who's left to pay the price. Those little hearts so innocent, they don't know who's to blame. No mom and dad to love them. What a shame, oh what a shame. Married by the Bible and divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible and no divorces by the law. Married by the Bible, divorced by the law. Every day there's more and more, the worst I ever saw. Things have changed, they're not the same as the days of Ma and Pa. They were married by the Bible, no divorces by the law.
Listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.